B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Lou, you still there? You got us on mute, buddy?
I'll put a
loop. There you go. You had me on mute, didn't you?
Hello?
Yo.
Yo, hey, how y'all doing, folks?
What's up, Lou?
Hey, what's up, man? I understand we get kind of fixated on certain things that, you know, kind of rubs us the wrong way, i.e. Ben's jump shot. But here's the thing, and this is the thing about how I believe in sometimes in Philly, how guys that we really love kind of get a pass. And listen, I love JoJo, but we have to understand that a championship run in this city starts with JoJo being healthy and dominant in the NBA, in the playoffs. It's not Ben's jump shot. If Embiid is not dominant and healthy in the playoffs, we're not going anywhere. We're not winning. We're not going past the second round. The last 2 years, people don't really realize. Last year, Ben was 27-13 in the regular season. He was 20-10 in the playoffs last year. Shot 43% from the field. That doesn't cut it. Him and Ben did not come and step up last year in the playoffs. And we want to talk about Tobias. We want to talk about everybody.
I hear you. I do believe had Joe played and he was himself, they win that Raptors series in five, six games.
I say
right?
the same thing.
But
I don't.
But Ben still needs to develop an offensive game. That's all.
Oh no! Yeah. No question about it. No. I'm not discounting that. I'm saying that doesn't our championship possibilities rely more heavily on JoJo being dominant in the playoffs. You look at the teams last year. Teams that make championship runs have normally one player basically outplaying everybody else on the opposing team in that series, i.e. Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi was the best player in every series.
Yep.
And that's why they won the championship.
Because he was a guarantee just about every game, Lou.
Exactly. And JoJo has to be either the best or match the best player in every series. If we're going to win a championship,
yeah. Yeah. 27-12 every night.
Yeah,
sprinkled in with 38-16. Yeah,
we can't have 20-10. We need
no. You're right.
We need 27-13. JoJo.
Yep. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Totally
That's what
agree.
We need.
Yep.
And another thing, real quick, I love and don't discount the versatility off the bench. These young guys, Matisse and Zaire, are going to give us something that we have lacked for a long time, and that's athleticism and guys who love to play defense on the perimeter.
Yeah.
I love J.J. Redick, but he was a sieve on defense. Think about this. The Sixers gave up 30 points or more to 30 times last year to opposing guards. 30, almost half the season, we were giving up 30 points or more.
I think Josh Richardson is going to have a little bit more to say about that. Like, now the kids,
you know, on the floor more.
The regular season, all right, you know.
It'll give you energy.
I like Shake. I like Shake's offense. And I think Matisse can defend. He's got a good bite. Now, Zaire, I got to watch him. I got to be convinced of him.
Well, Matisse knows what he is already. He knows what he's coming in the league to do.
Yeah.
He'll work on that other stuff, the shot and everything else. But he's coming in the league to be a defender.
Yeah.
It's what he was in college. It's how he's defined himself. And the fact that he's defined himself that way is a good sign. He's going to know when he comes off the bench, I'm going in to be a good perimeter defender. And he knows that, and that's his mentality. I think he can help. He'll provide energy for him. J.J. Redick's goodbye note to the city of Philadelphia. Here you go, Anthony. He says,
J.J. or Jimmy?
J.J.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything from, I guess Jimmy said something, but I'm not even sure what it was. But here's J.J. Redick's. He goes, to the city of Philadelphia, thank you for an incredible experience. The past two seasons were unforgettable, and it's because of the passion, energy, and intensity of you, the fans. The way you rally for your sports teams here is special. There is nothing like playing in Philadelphia, and I'm so fortunate to have worn the 76ers jersey. I've built so many truly meaningful relationships in this city in such a short period. Philadelphia will always be a special place to me and my family, Again, thank you, Philly. Signed, J.J. Redick.
Sorry, I don't understand fraud.
You don't speak fraud?
I don't speak fraud.
You think of all the years living here, you'd be fluent.
Oh, the Pelicans. Oh, enjoy New Orleans.
He's a fraud. He's dead to me.
I love the thing that got to me.
And you know what? He'll be like, the first thing he'll do in New Orleans, oh, man, the restaurant scene's incredible. What an amazing.
On his podcast?
Yeah.
The thing that gets me is the line is, the Philadelphia will always be a special place to me and my family. And so much so that they lived in Brooklyn. He never moved down here.
He's dead to me.
It's like, come on, dude. You didn't even pick up residence in our town, pay our taxes as a resident. Come on. On that overpayment we gave you 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was a big overpayment.
Oh, 23 mil.
That was a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
The Sixers had to get to the cap floor. The cap floor, the cap basement.
Yep.
They had to get to. So he was the beneficiary of that.
Because Joe wasn't on a max deal. Ben's on a rookie deal.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of don't want to hear him.
To me, that year.
I like what you said to Junis.
That year to me came with a promissory note. Hey, we're going to overpay you this year, so we get to the floor.
Yeah.
That down the line when we're really competing,
you got to come back to us
and say, hey, you know, you overpaid me here.
Right.
Here's how it evens out a little bit. But you didn't do that.
Yeah.
You ran for the money.
Now, you know, what would any of us do?
Run for the money. We're allowed to be hypocritical.
I want
to
win a championship, damn it. He ain't going to win in New Orleans.
I don't think all is lost with him gone, though, because it takes away that dribble handoff play.
He comes off the bench, lights it up.
Now, he would have been perfect coming off the bench. Exactly what you needed off the bench.
Don't worry about defense, JJ. Just come off the bench.
Rain threes.
Give me three, four threes a night.
And plus, he could. At the end of the game, he's in. You know? You go offense, defense with him. The bastard.
Yeah, especially if you're in a situation when you need some threes.
That's uncool, man.
Yeah, well.
I'm even bothered.
That's the note from J.J. Redick on his time. His 2 years here in Philadelphia. He's a guy that fans loved, though, when he was here. People
cares.
I mean, he ran like 7 miles a game.
Not anymore.
He's getting up there, though, too. That's another part of the equation.
That's why he comes off the bench.
Yeah. That's the transition in his career that he should be taking right now.
Yeah, listen, I'll root against him from now on.
What about Jimmy?
I root against Jimmy, too.
Yeah.
But I got no ill will towards Jimmy.
Now, you understand the situation.
I'll root against him because he's in Miami.
Yeah. 610-632.
But I won't actively, like, I'll take glee in JJ missing big shots more than Jimmy. Because Jimmy was not offered a contract, in my opinion.
So, I'm in
my estimation.
I got a primo hoagie on the Pelicans making the playoffs. I got to be careful how I root for Jimmy's failures. Because I want them to make the playoffs so I can get
JJ's
a turkey Diablo.
Failures.
Or JJ's failures, I'm sorry. I always get those two mixed up for some reason. And they're really nothing alike. Real quick, we got some open lines. 610-632-0975. What would you think the rating would be on the U.S. Women's National Team Championship win yesterday?
I mean, obviously, it's got to be really big.
It's not their biggest. It's probably going to be like their fourth biggest for the women's soccer in the United States of America. It drew an overall rating of a 10-share household rating in overnight metered markets on Fox. That's up 20%, however, from the 2018 men's final between France and Croatia. Now, of course, there's not a U.S. team involved, which drew an 8.3 in the preliminary ratings, but to a 12.5 million viewers back a couple of years ago in 2018 or last year. Sunday's broadcast is down considerably, though, from the 2015 final, which the U.S. women's won as well. That drew a 15.2. That game was the most watched Women's World Cup game in history in the United States, with 25.4 million 4 years ago. And the 2019 final, like you said, should end up fourth all time because the 99 had 18 million, 2011, 13.5, and so on and so forth. And there were chants of equal play at the end of the game that you could hear over the broadcast as they were accepting the golden boot. But equal pay is one thing, but the revenue has to match, and it certainly does not. The men's revenue that they split is insanely higher. Like, $400 million is what they split. The women split $73 million in revenue to the World Cup. So
I can say,
we're a more successful team, we should get paid more. But it's about what the revenue is.
By the way,
not about the success.
In 2015, they beat Japan in the championship. So obviously there's a lot of Japanese in the United States, sure, so that's part of it.
Yeah, no question about it. But hey, man,
you know,
they were impressive, man. They had the bullseye on them the whole tournament, and they went out there and they won.
They're great. They're great. I didn't get a chance to watch yesterday. I was following the phone, but I didn't get a chance to watch it. I did watch last night's Gold Cup. I was home last night, and I watched the Gold Cup, which was awesome. I mean, riveting television.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was I don't know how they didn't win. It was riveting television, live from Soldier Field.
Yeah.
USA, Mexico. Congratulations to Mexico. Yeah. It's a great match.
I always kind of gauge things on, like, when you're out, you hear things. Or, like I went out, me and my wife were running around. We had to take care of some stuff to get for the basement. And we stopped by the car wash. We needed to vacuum out our car because we had to take all the seats out to fit some wooden stuff in the car. So we're vacuuming out, and the guy in the car next to me has got the World Cup. It's the very beginning of the game. He's got the World Cup game on the radio.
He was listening to it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I always gauge by that. That's when you got people.
Over to Phillies.
Yeah.
Wait, that was early, right?
Well, yeah. It was like 11:15 when I was at the car wash. It was right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
But tremendous theater throughout the whole tournament. And, boy, they had the bullseye on them, and they came out, and they got the golden boot. So congrats to the women's team. 610-632-0975. Couple open lines. That right there, to my right, is Anthony Gargano. On your left on your radio is myself, Jason Mertidis. We're back after this.
Gargano and Mertidis Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Earlier today with Gargano and Mertidis.
I love the fact that Kawhi wasn't going to the Lakers and did not want to team up with LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he said, hey, PG, let's go to Clippers. Let's go home.
Yeah.
And forced his trade. And I love it. The NBA next year is going to be outrageous.
Yeah.
There's a great disbursement of players. It's incredible theater. And oh, by the way, we got a nice clear path in the East.
That show recap was brought to you by Dietz and Watson's Wheeled Philly Deli Hoagie Guide. With your chance to win great prizes just for eating delicious hoagies from the area's best Wheeled Philly delis, visit WheeledPhillyDeli.com. Now, here are Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis.
So wait 10 seconds. Are you telling me today, July the 8th, is the birthday of the Philadelphia Eagles?
Wow.
The Eagles were born in 1933 on this date.
Yes.
July the 8th, 1933.
Yeah, they put out a tweet, and there's a picture, like a panoramic shot of the entire squad. The bleachers look like the bleachers at Westchester East.
Wow. The Eagles are 86 years young.
But how many of those years were the Steagles? Was there just 1 year of that? Remember during the war they combined?
It was 2 years.
Was it 2 years?
I don't recall. But 86 years.
Zach Ertz old.
Wow, it's 80, the Eagles are 86. We should celebrate their birthday tomorrow.
Yeah. That's incredible. They also put out a tweet earlier, and they have a picture of Jason Kelce, who wears the number 62. And it says, 62 days until our season opener. Players are getting ready. They only got a couple weeks left. A couple of rests this weekend, I saw. Oh, that actually wasn't in the NFL, the rest of us. So that was in the NHL, but nonetheless.
NHL.
Yeah, a couple of guys got
trouble. The NHL?
Yeah, I've got to fight over a Bart tab.
The NHL? What is the NHL? What is that?
The No Hope League. But there you go. Happy birthday to the Eagles. Celebrate their, we'll get them a cake tomorrow.
All right.
Get a little cake.
I like a little birthday celebration of the birds.
We can,
let's do it.
Blow out the candles and get a football cake.
Let's go.
All right. That'd be cool. Also, tomorrow, I've just tasked you with something. Because I'm looking at the NFL Top 100 list is coming out on NFL Network coming up in a couple weeks. They do it every year. So I want to get the Anthony L. Gargano I'm not going to go top 100 on you. I'll go top 10 on you. NFL players now, all positions. Your ranking.
All right.
Because I can.
I will.
And I want your NBA rankings.
Because I can.
And your Major League Baseball rankings.
I'm in.
All right. We'll do that tomorrow. I'll give you the hockey rankings. Funny thing is, I'll give them to you off the air.
Listen. Listen, I'm down with the hockey rankings. I am. There won't be a flyer on that top 10.
No. If
Jason,
I went positional, I'm trying to think of it. Yeah.
I got to ask you something. This is from the St. Louis Blues Twitter account.
All right.
They made margaritas inside Lord Stanley.
Oh, yeah.
And they tipped it upside down. And I don't know if it's salt or sugar around the rim of it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I saw the video of it.
So is this common practice?
Dude, you have no idea what's been done to that cup. After last year with Ovechkin, that thing has been violated. Yeah, but they tipped it upside down, rubbed it on the plate with all the salt and stuff, poured the margaritas in. They're putting lemons on the side of it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's the ultimate chalice.
That's all. That's
Lord Stanley's
really,
chalice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm down. Was it pina colada or?
I thought it was margaritas.
It was margaritas? All right. Well, there you go. Everybody enjoy. Get a big straw. Get your own crazy straw. Let's get to Benny in Montgomeryville on the Fnac. Hey, Ben.
Hey, guys, how are you?
What's up, Benny? Now, listen, it's a big week for you now.
Yeah, it's a big week. It's the Autism Awareness Week at Dorney Park in Wildwater Kingdom and Allentown, Pennsylvania. Yeah, so you want to come on out? I'm here tomorrow, Wednesday, and Friday. Saturday.
Look at you, man. You're doing it all, buddy.
I am doing it all.
It's a big week for you, man. You're killing it. I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a big week. I'll be here today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Saturday. So, yeah, come on out. We have sensory-free shows. We bring the kids and family. I'm here all week. We have it here all week.
Well, you're always doing a great job, Ben. And
Eagles ambassador to autism.
Done such a great job. You've helped raise so much money, and you need to be applauded for that.
Absolutely. And shout out to all my managers and the security team and everyone who are doing such a great job for this week. They're going to do a good job for Autism Awareness Week, and I'm so proud of all of them.
Yeah, and we're getting closer to camp too, Ben.
I'm excited for that. You know I'm excited for that.
Absolutely.
You know I'm excited. I'm excited for Jason Kelce. I can't believe a year ago I got to meet you guys. That was a year ago.
Is that right?
When you came in?
Wow. Yeah.
Look at that.
That was a year ago.
You're going to come back in soon, buddy.
I will promise you, all right? We'll find a day.
You got it, pal.
I'll see you at FanFest. I'll see you at FanFest.
No doubt.
And you'll be there all week at Dorney Park for Eagles Autism Week.
I'm actually there tomorrow, Wednesday, and Saturday. So Perfect. Come on by, bring all your friends and family. We'll have fun.
All right, Benny, enjoy it. Thanks for checking in, bud.
Absolutely.
There he is, Benny, the Eagles Autism Ambassador. Does great work. Let's go to Tony Taxi on the Fnatic. What's up, Tone?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
TT.
Yeah, listen, man. I just had to give a shout-out in memory to my high school friend that I grew up with, Lewis Lloyd, who died. I just talked to Lewis.
You grew up with Lewis Lloyd?
Yeah, we went to junior high school and high school together. I followed his whole career. And I just talked to Lewis last Saturday.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, man, it was tragic what happened. And, you know...
I didn't hear it until one of our callers said it, and I love Lewis Lloyd, man.
Oh, man, but I put on the highlights of Lou against Magic, and Magic said he was one of the toughest defenders he ever went against.
Yeah.
And Lou was set for a breakout season when him and Wiggins were banned. And, you know, it hurts when you see young athletes sometimes make bad decisions, and we all make them in our life. And, you know, he admitted to the bad decisions he made, but sometimes they could be career-threatening.
It was tough, man. That was the times, you know, and he had that addiction problem.
Yeah, man. But Lou was a good guy, man, a stand-up guy. And, you know, he's going to be missed. So I just wanted to shout out in his memory and say, you know, my love to him and prayers to him and his family for what they're going through. And listen, I wanted your assessment on what you saw. Did you see any potential in the young players in the Summer League for the Sixers? Like the center, the 7-4 center, and the other boy that they just signed, they got in the second round.
Yeah.
He looked really good. And what did you think about Zaire coming back from injury? The first game.
You know, he's all right.
Look, they're playing against, they're not playing against an NBA roster.
I mean, I think you just got to be careful about expecting. I know you love Zaire,
Oh, you know it.
I know you do. Just you know. Look, I like see to me like see Shake. I believe Shake can play in the NBA. Like I think he tried too hard, and I think the other team was kind of focused on and targeted him. The kid Shayok, I thought, had a nice game. He shot it well. That's the kid you were talking about.
Shayok's very active.
You know? And Thibault, I think, you know, he's got to get better offensively. You know? And you know, listen, Zaire can jump. He's got great. He's a great athlete. He can play defense. He's going to be able to get the shot.
His overall game in the first, even though they're not playing against, like, NBA-quality players, but I'm just looking at his overall game. He was the assist and everything. He was active. He was moving.
Yeah.
Not complacent like he was. And in the second game, he didn't get much time, so he never really got into the flow.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be all right, man.
I agree with that, brother.
Thanks, Tony. Okay.
All right, buddy.
Yeah. Best to you, man. Okay, you know, man. We love you, TT.
Yeah, I mean, look, the players that you're seeing in the summer league aren't going to be what determine if the Sixers and the path to the finals, that's not going to be the determining factor. But they can help in the regular season, play minutes, and you're going to have guys that are going to be on load management, so you may see certain games where some of these players are getting a lot more than others,
exactly.
No doubt.
Like at that point,
you need depth.
You definitely do. You definitely do. It's, the kids are going to see, they'll see time in the regular season, but playoff time, you know, other than maybe a Shake or a Thibault, a couple minute stretches.
Mm.
How many times do we say it? It's for
men.
Men. Yeah. I mean, that's how you play veterans.
Yep. Let's go to Bilal in South Philly on the Fanatic. Bilal, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Bilal, how y'all doing? What's up, my brother?
Oh, man. Just sitting out here in the rain, man. Sitting out here in the rain in my car, waiting to go to work. But
it's actually not as hot today. It's actually decent out.
70s, no, it's not. My car says 69. That's a big change from what we've been going through. It's just a lot of rain right now, man. A whole lot of rain.
Crazy.
Yes. How was your holiday? I'm hoping y'all had a good holiday.
Good, buddy.
You know, everybody had a good celebrating the 4th. As far as the Sixers, you know, I think we're thinking too much when it comes to who's going to take the final shot. I think we have a good nucleus of players when you talk about Embiid, Tobias, Al Horford. I even like the kid, Josh Richardson, because I've seen them take some big shots as well.
I think we're
just going too far off the edge and worried about who's going to take this big shot. The big shot, to me, doesn't necessarily have to be a jump shot. It can be a post down low. It can be Al Horford, because I've seen him take some shots through his time of being in the league. I'm a big fan of Tobias, as y'all know. I just feel like, you know, we're concentrating too much on who's going to take that big shot. Okay, Jimmy took some shots last year, but Jimmy took some shots from some other people, too. So I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you know,
I think Tobias, like to me, that shot that we're talking about, and look, it's a question that I'm thinking about too. But to me, it comes between two guys, right? It's got to be Tobias and Joe.
I believe Embiid can take that post. And, you know, I just want to say real quick, I just don't see Shake being that point off the bench, man. I've seen nothing in him in these two games so far. That gives me enough confidence that he can be that backup point guard off the bench.
You got Neto, right? To who's been in the league and he can play backup point.
But the thing with go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say the thing about Shake is I think he was trying too hard. Allow him to get his feet wet. But while it might take him, you know, half a season.
Yeah, well, because he just got this money. He's still looking like a G League player to me, man. Like, for that person to be coming off the bench to be our backup point, because that's what's being embedded into our heads, that Shake is going to be that backup point. But, I mean, I'm with you because, you know, I'm Sixers all day. You know how I feel about my Sixers.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I'm rooting for him. And, I just want it to happen. That's all, man.
No, I feel you, bro. I do. Just try to be patient with Shake. You're not going to get, you know, I think he's trying too hard. I think teams are focusing in on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a summer league. So, you know, you got to take for granted anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's see what happens. Half season, maybe works his way into the rotation.
Finds a little bit of comfort.
He'll get a chance to play some minutes, and then you see what happens.
Let's go to the man right now. Miami Mike.
Michael.
What's up, Michael?
Hey.
What do you say there, Mike?
Man, I tried to get through you. It was impossible. I thought you had another guy working with you over the weekend.
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, we were talking. I like your discussion about the basketball team versus the old-timers. That's what Ms. Nelly considers that. You're an old-timer because you believe that we help secure the leagues that you have today. In Philadelphia, we're determined whether you're good or bad, but I'm not 7 foot. You know, that's like when my next-door neighbor who passed on said he wished he played when I played, and I asked him, I said, well, what were you going to do? He said, I would have roughed you up. I said, how the hell are you going to do that? You were too slow. You couldn't catch me. So the football teams that they hit me are only going to get better, too, because these kids are big, but they're also getting faster.
Oh,
yeah,
sure. So that's a big determination compared to the old days. I mean,
you got D linemen running as fast as running backs did back in your day, Miami Mike.
And it's only going to get better on both sides. I like to see the 76ers win the championship because it's been so long.
Yeah, yeah, buddy.
And they can't seem to get a break. Like this other guy that there's no loyalty among the teams anymore. Give me the money, I'm out of here.
Listen, it's big business now. It's a different game.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. And the leagues aren't driven by who comes into the stadium. It's a big team with TV. That's where they're making their money.
Miami Mike, it's not even like, give me the money, I'm out of here anymore. It's who am I going to play with, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and then you know what?
Stars all get paid the same.
Yeah, I don't appreciate like when guys, two or three of them get together and want to play for Miami. I mean, they control the team. They're controlling the sport.
Actually, this year, though, I think the town is dispersed nicely. How it's dispersed. I think it's going to be a lot. Look, you can't. In years past, you thought you had an idea who was going to win it, Mike.
Now you don't know.
Yeah. And that's a good thing.
That's a great thing for any league. Hey, thanks, Mike.
All right, take care.
To me, that's why what Kawhi did was he's Luke Skywalker. He restored order to the galaxy. Because it's not just this one team. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what I'm saying because you're not a Star Wars guy. But he restored it. He's a Jedi. Kawhi's a Jedi.
That's how you use that analogy.
Yeah. That's what Kawhi did, though. Especially
not
at Western
really.
Conference.
You know, let's not make him Jedi.
Well, yeah, he's Jedi.
I mean, he did recruit.
He's not Yoda Jedi. Yoda would have went out there by himself at that 3'2".
Well, at least I'm just happy that Kawhi didn't.
Not Paul George. That's what he would have said. That's what Yoda would have said. You know, that's my Yoda.
All right.
That's a good Yoda. You don't even know Yoda is, do you?
I've heard Yoda, but I don't know. I can't place.
So if I showed you a picture of three different Star Wars characters, you wouldn't know which one's Yoda?
No, I would know. I'm sure I'd know.
All right, Andrew, print three.
Okay.
Give him Jabba the Hutt, Yoda.
No, I know Jabba the Hutt's a fat guy.
Okay. He's like the lizard.
I know Yoda. I've seen Yoda before. Come on. I'm under a rock. Just because I'm not a fan of the franchise.
I'll print out an Ewok and an Ezekiel Elliott, and we can pick which one's
which. Yeah, they do look alike. You're right. The same fur, the same face.
you know what an Ewok is?
That I do not know.
I'll send you a picture
of the Ewok, but...
Yeah, it's from Return of the Jedi.
Not Ewok.
Right.
Ewok. Yes.
When's the next one coming out?
December. I think it's like December 17th, the day after my boy's birthday. Can't wait.
You don't think. You know it's December 17th.
I don't know if that's the Friday or not. I got to look at the calendar, but it's like that week. 2 weeks before Christmas. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Really? You're not big a Star Wars guy, huh?
Oh, huge. Yeah. I'm a dork. Let's go to...
That's cool. That's good. I never see you get excited about it. Other than hockey.
That's true.
Like, that's pretty good. Like, you smile. Like, I'm into it. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Always been into it.
That's good.
Tommaso. And St. Louis is on the Fanatic. Hey, what's up, Tommaso?
Hey, how you doing, my guy? How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Not too much. I'm just, chilling out here in the old St. Louis heat, trying to survive. So, it's all good.
Is the hangover still going on out there from the Blues?
a little bit for them. You know, I'm a Philly guy. I'm a Flyers fan. So, I just kind of have to sit there and enjoy it. But, they all seem happy. They're all out doing
their don't worry about
thing.
It. Everybody here is having a party.
I want to talk a little bit about the Sixers. and specifically the roster construction. And just the thought I had the other day is that people, you know, we've all been complaining about Ben Simmons' jump shot and, you know, who's going to make the big shot in the clutch moment. And I was sitting there and I thought, hey, this roster is not constructed for the big shot, for the three-point. It's like our management zags when the rest of the NBA has been, you know, zigging. Everyone's trying to get the three-point shooters, the guy who's going to be, you know, Splash Bros Steph and all that sort of stuff. And what the Sixers have been doing is they say, you know, we're not going to overpay for a subpar shooter. We're going to stock up. What are we going to do? We're going to go defense. We're going to go big, strong guys. We're not going to let them score. And if we can hold the other teams to, you know, 90, 95 points a game, I mean, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, they still have guys who can shoot the three. You know, Tobias can shoot it. Josh Richardson can shoot it. I think he'll shoot it at an even better clip because of the spacing. You know, Horford can shoot the three, and so can Embiid.
Yeah, well, my point is that, you know, we're making all the big deal about, like, JJ leaving and stuff like that. And I just feel like, you know, the roster is not, you know, it would be nice to have that three-point shooter like JJ, but I think the roster construction in and of itself will work without that three-point shooter.
So the NBA is a three-point league now.
Yeah.
You got to have some three-point shooting.
Sure, but I mean, I think
Tobias can shoot it. And
I like their length a lot. I do. Yeah. I like their length a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, JJ would have been nice off the bench is what our point was.
Right, and sure. All right, I got a second question for you here.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, I've been watching a lot of baseball in St. Louis. You know, it's a baseball town.
It is, yeah,
like
sure.
And we get these Subway commercials out here in St. Louis, and they make me want to die. And so my question to you guys is out of all the sports, all the TV you've watched, what is the worst commercial, the worst series of commercials that you've ever seen that have made you say, oh, I got to turn off the TV. I got to get out of this room because I can't handle it anymore.
That's a great question. I watch a lot of sports on TV.
And sometimes you see this. Well, you saw the one where the Eagle fan looking like on the elevator. Was it the NFL Shop commercial?
Yeah.
Where he's meek.
Yeah,
it's like the opposite of the Eagle fan.
Right. Really?
portraying the Eagle fan base as meek.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like, come on, man. Is this?
That's not accurate.
That's taking an artistic liberty.
I got to think about it. Just off the top of my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of annoying commercials. Some of them are intended to be annoying to get you to remember the product or the service or whatever it is.
We usually get in those conversations when the. During football, when you're watching hours and hours and hours of television. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Geico caveman thing wore me out.
I got no problem with Geico.
No?
Yeah, I kind of like the Geico.
Now, do you like the lizard or do you like the caveman?
I have no problem with any of it.
All right. Aristocrat. 610-632-0975.
No problem. All right. There was one that I hated. I was trying to remember what it was.
Flo? Progressive Girl?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's low hanging fruit.
Yeah, it's just been going on too long.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
It's right? Like, can we get a new creative agency over here?
Right.
You know.
Right.
But like the Clydesdales never get old. You know, the Budweiser Clydesdales, and they bring them in with the wagon.
Christmas, yeah.
And then the barrels of beer.
Yeah, that's the Christmas.
Yeah, with the snow.
The Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got to be a Clydesdale fan.
Yeah. Sure.
You don't seem too...
I mean, I'm not exactly like the Clydesdale, you know.
They came to Westchester like for one of the parades and people were going bananas.
Really?
You thought it was like the Beatles were coming up the street.
Yeah, nah.
No?
I'm not... I'm probably not stopping.
Wow, all right.
I mean, listen,
it's a horse.
Nice. But I'm not. I mean, truth be told, you know, it's not like I got. I don't know. Whatever.
610-632-0975. That is the number. We got room to get you in right now. We've been pretty jammed all day, so now's a great time to jump in. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're going streaky! Yes!
All right, 12:51. I hate these. I hate the fact. Let me ask you a question. What's baseball doing?
In
July 4th, not every team played.
Yeah.
And then they played in Toronto.
That's happened on Memorial Day, too.
I don't understand that sport. And even with the the All-Star break, it's too early.
Now's not the time for it.
Now's the time where you want it. Yeah. Either you move it up.
You're not competing.
Like, either you move the break up to where, you know, you don't have to. You got something else going on?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, why do you take a break now when people go, huh, what's there to watch?
Yeah. To me, you take the break in August, and then you come back for the stretch run. Everybody gets...
Or if you want to do it in June, where there's stuff going on.
I think they want that break in between a little bit later in the season as opposed to earlier.
Whatever. I don't really
care. But more strategically placed.
My only point about the July thing is that that's when people go, I want sports. There's no sports.
And baseball, when you're on the beach,
you know,
or you're back at the beach house.
Right. There's no sports.
Yeah.
Or you do it the week of the deadline, maybe.
I hate July. I do. I hate July.
The week after the deadline?
I hate more than July. I hate February a lot because that's the end of
football.
The end of football.
There's a depression that comes with that.
But I think I hate July the most of any month.
I do
month.
Too.
By
totally
the way,
do.
Baseball was stupid the day after the 4th, so July 5th. When everybody's off, not one day game.
That was my other thing. Exactly right.
Everybody's off July 5th.
That was my other problem.
You get kids and make more day games.
It's exactly it.
Yep.
That was the other thing I was thinking about. Why wouldn't you play day games on July 5th? Why wouldn't it be all day long?
Yeah. Kids day.
That sport is the worst run sport. They did a... I was listening to... Jeremy Schapp did a thing on baseball, and he had an interview with Bud Selig, and Bud Light kept lauding himself as the commissioner that saved the game.
Oh, sorry, McGuire Sosa.
Yeah, well,
saved your bacon.
That was all part of it.
Yeah,
but I look at this leadership. I go, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, where's the outside the box thinking?
It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, they're reactive,
like MLB,
never proactive.
Like, it's amazing. Kids don't even respond to MLB.
Nope.
We were talking about basketball and football last week, Andrew, because I was talking about being on the boardwalk in Wildwood and seeing just, like, basketball everywhere.
Yeah.
Games, jerseys, mm-hmm. like, everywhere you look was a basketball thing. It's, like, unbelievable. There's no baseball. There's like no
and we're in
baseball. It's unreal. There's like none. But even the Philly stuff, I didn't see a lot of Philly stuff. I'm down to shore. I didn't see a ton of Philly stuff. I saw probably as much Met things from the New Yorkers and Yankee things. As you did Phillies.
Oh, boy.
But I saw a ton of Sixers. I saw a ton of Eagles.
Yep.
A lot of Sixers.
Yeah, well, the Sixers, here's the deal. The Sixers,
Sixers
right now are cool.
Anything.
Cool.
Yeah.
They're just straight up cool. The team, where they are, they're likable.
Yeah.
They have tremendous promise, both next year and in the future. And they told you what they were going to do. And then they did it. So they were transparent in that way. I think fans respect that, even though there was a lot of moments in there that were they weren't transparent with injuries and how they were being handled or whatever, but still,
the Sixers are cool. They're good. They're a story. I'm just giving
baseball
you.
Baseball's just not cool right now.
I'm just giving you. Like, you want to know what Philadelphia's about, what it's into?
Mm.
I was telling this to our boss, Joe Bell. I was telling Joe, I go, Joe, you want to know what this town's about? You go to the Jersey Shore in the summertime on a weekend. Make your way through it.
When people can wear whatever they want.
Go to Ocean City, go to Wildwood, go to Sea Isle, and you'll see the heart of Philadelphia down there, what they're into.
Yeah. Where they spend their money.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to wear khakis and a golf shirt to work. Right. They wear whatever the hell they want.
The point is kids and everybody Hats. Else and the whole thing.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's a great way to kind of gauge where the hearts and minds are right now.
And here's the thing that has changed when we talk about the Phillies. During that, 08, 07, I remember seeing the red first before even the wins came.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies were at hot in 07.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy makes the proclamation.
But you went down there. You were down the shore in 07. You saw Phillies everywhere.
Yeah.
08, obviously.
All the boardwalk t-shirt shops.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
All Phillies.
World effing champion shirts.
No, but that was, it was 09. Yeah. Because it was the summer.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you're right. It was swelled. You could feel the swell of it then. But it was still cool then.
I didn't see it.
The sport was maybe still cool then. It's not cool now for a lot of people. And you're right, though. For July 5th, that should have been Kids Day across America baseball.
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, why not do something like that? You know, every kid gets a half-price ticket. Fill every stadium with kids and make it great.
Yeah, the only day game was...
Bring in, the Jonas Brothers to do concerts and stuff like that. I don't know. Bring in Elmo. Whatever you got to do.
The only day game was Summer League. Sixers played at 3:30 that day.
That's right.
That was your sport.
The NBA knew what they were doing.
No, well, that's why people watch it. People, they went nuts over this Summer League.
Yep.
Sixers play tonight.
What time's the game tonight?
You got it?
We got tips tonight?
I think it's tonight. Or it might be actually during the day. It could be 3:30 again today.
The FIBA coming up. Let me see if I can get the Summer League schedule here. July 5th of 2019. I'll see.
But I know they're playing today. It's on my calendar.
All right, Summer League schedule. Yes, it is. You got it marked on an old school calendar. So today is what? The 8th.
3 p.m.
3 p.m. Yeah. Today against the Thunder.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. And then their next game, the Sixers. That's the next day. So the next time they play will be... I think Wednesday they play. Yeah, Wednesday at 3:00 against the Detroit Pistons.
But the point is that, you look around, now's the perfect time. Like, you disappear.
Strike.
That's where baseball's foolish.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed, and you wonder if Rob Manfred and the union can get together and fix them. I don't know. They see their revenue coming in, and it's still through the moon, over the moon, I mean, they're making money. Oh yeah.
Well, local. You have content, so it's impossible to have live content and not generate revenue. But I'm sure it pales to the NBA.
The NBA has been the talk of the sports world the last week and change,
and it's going to continue. We got Avery Bradley news.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
Once he clears waivers today, he plans to sign a two-year, $9.7 million deal with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah. Mm.
The L.A. Lakers and the L.A. Clippers are trying to gather.
That's a good signing for him, too. They're getting deep.
Two 3-and-D guys, Avery Bradley and Danny Green.
Yeah, it's good signings. You're bastards. I hate them, man. So, I hate them. I hope LeBron, I swear to God, I hope LeBron takes out LeBron. Kawhi takes out LeBron.
Be a great matchup. That's going to be a fun storyline. The Battle for Los Angeles. Wasn't that the name of a Rage Against the Machine album? The Battle for Los Angeles. But it's good. Seriously, those two teams.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be incredibly compelling.
I'm all clipped up.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be wild there in L.A. If they in a conference final to go to the NBA finals, those two teams match up, be off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sheesh. A little bit of more news. Jabari Parker to the Hawks on a two-year deal.
That's where he fits. He can put up all kinds of empty stats.
And then get paid in 2 years.
On a bad team. Yeah.
Mikey Miss sent me a text. He goes, stop your baseball hating nonsense. See, he sends that to me, but he don't send it to you. And you're the one who brought it up. I'm always the target.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, check out Andrew tonight at 6:00 on the baseball show. tonight, right? You got the program? Any guests lined up you want to promote? Anything going on?
Tommy Green's our Monday guy.
There you go. So Tommy's a good guy.
He'll be on Monday. By the way, it looks like we have the American League starting lineup.
For the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Who you got?
Which is early.
Yeah, he just comes on Monday.
Does it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, it looks like George Springer batting leadoff. DJ LeMahieu batting second. Mike Trout batting third. Your boy, Carlos Santana, batting cleanup.
How about that?
Cleveland. The game's in Cleveland, so.
Yeah. John Maley.
You're going to throw a bone.
Good job, John Maley.
I know, right?
Seriously. Batting fifth, J.D.
Martinez.
He's
got 26 home runs.
Yeah, he's playing well.
I know.
Incredible.
Alex Bregman, sixth. Gary Sanchez, seventh. Michael Brantley, eighth. Jorge Polanco will bat ninth. And Justin Verlander will get the start on the mound.
Mm. Oof. So we should get the NL lineup at some point here.
Yeah, looks like it.
Keep an eye out. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station. And we broadcast from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.